Thank you, Allison. Thank you, everyone who's been serving so far this morning. We couldn't do it without you. Even you, Gene. Well, good morning. I'm so glad to be here this morning. And I don't know if you know this, but I have very big shoes to fill this morning. My dad, he has like size 13. But in reality, I wanted to touch on a passage of Scripture this morning that's integral to my role here as the pastor of family ministries. I'm supposed to be here for parents, children, teenagers, and young adults as they work together in the church to equip the youth and the children and the families to be able to serve God. For that to happen, we as a church need to be healthy and working together for a common purpose. We have to be working for the spread of the gospel and for the growth of individuals in their walk with the Lord. In my 6 years or so of leading, teaching, and counseling youth, it has become apparent that many youth don't know what their priorities are supposed to be as Christians. They're pulled all over the place. And when preteens and teenagers are formulating their core beliefs, so much is changing around them, and they end up feeling lost as they enter adulthood. We have to remember that the church is here for the building up and the growth of all of its members. So this morning we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 15, when he writes to Timothy and shows Timothy that he needs to be immersed in his spiritual walk in order to be properly serving God and to bring glory to him. Even though Paul may be speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 15, and Timothy is a young man, this passage will be applying to all of us. And we must recognize that it brings to attention the idea that we ourselves have to be immersed in our spiritual walk with the Lord, regardless of our age. By studying this passage, we will see that maturity of a spiritual nature ends up revealing itself by the way we dedicate ourselves to the mission of Christ and to one another. Using Scripture this morning, we can be convicted to help and encourage each other towards a stronger relationship with God and towards spiritual maturity. So, we're going to go ahead and read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 15 from the ESV, if you'd please follow along with me as I read. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Now let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here together as believers to worship you, to sing your praises, Lord, that we need you. Thank you for the freedom we have to study your word and to grow from it openly. I pray that today you would help us to set aside the things that might be distracting us, the things that are keeping us from you. Lord, help us to be able to commit ourselves fully to you this morning and to be able to recognize what you would have us do as a part of our lives in serving you. Dear Lord, please help me to accurately proclaim your word and please help us to fully understand what it is you are telling us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in speaking to Timothy, uses very vivid descriptions when showing Timothy how Christians need to have spiritual maturity. He uses words and phrases like set an example in verse 12, devote in verse 13, do not neglect in verse 14, and practice or immerse in verse 15. All of these words are referring to how Timothy is to act in his Christian walk. These phrases and words here are a collectively marked statement that dedication to the faith is necessary for Timothy to be a faithful servant to Christ. The reason that this is so important to Paul is revealed in chapter 4, which begins by saying that there are those who will fall away from the church. And then he moves on to talk about how to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. It is in this section we find ourselves, with Paul using language that leads to the training of godliness that is referenced a few verses earlier. See, Paul recognizes that one of the biggest challenges for a young believer in Christ is being disciplined in living out the Word of God. We can see that through a picture of our own world today. According to a census done by Common Sense Media in 2015, excluding time spent using media for school or homework, preteens spend an average of 6 hours a day consuming media, and teens absorb an average of 9 hours a day. This statistic has been staying on track as a more recent study in 2021 shows that teenagers are still spending between 7 and 9 hours on screens in a day outside of school. This time ranges from listening to music online, texting, watching TV, spending time on social media, and playing video games. You may wonder how this is possible. We have screens in our pockets all the time. And when you look at a teenager, where's their attention? So every day of the week, the youth of our church are constantly absorbing media, and that is culturally normal. This is just one example of the challenge before new or young Christians in becoming mature in the knowledge and obedience of Christ. The focus of Christians at any age has to remain on our Lord and Savior. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Paul makes it clear that we are to lay aside distractions when he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race that is set before us, run with endurance the race that is set before us." How can we expect the youth of our churches and our families to be able to run the race with endurance if we are unable to lay aside even the entertainments of this life that can hold us back from a full commitment to faith? Now, distractions and entertainments can be good for short periods of time, and they have their place, but anything that separates us from communion with God and the Holy Spirit should be jettisoned from the lives of those who are truly seeking to follow Christ. And that can take many different forms. Things are a little different here in Door County than they would be in New York City, where I was raised as a youth, or even when I was in Green Bay as a young adult helping the youth. You know, most youth, even when I was a youth, didn't have a cell phone always in their hands. But distractions from the faith can come in any form of entertainment, sport, worry, or self-imposed responsibility. Some individuals are just as fully absorbed in dieting and health, exercise, working on vehicles, or anything that becomes a consuming activity that takes away from the dedication to a full walk with Christ. The principle is thankfully always the same, and that means it is easily taught, even if it is hard to implement. If we as churches and parents do not model and encourage those who are new into the church or being raised into the church with the idea that time is precious and that their relationship with God is deserving of that time, then we are failing to teach and encourage them to walk according to Scripture. In other words, we leave them without legs to run on in their walk. Those who are older need to be a model for those who are younger in the church and how to use their time so that they can learn spiritual maturity. Paul does his best to encourage Timothy in this particular matter. He does this specifically by investing in Timothy. And what this means to us is that time must be revealed to be spent under the influence of Scripture. So how do we do that? Verse 13 speaks specifically to the implementation of Scripture under the umbrella of the church. They need a steady diet of Scripture being poured into them with the application that can affect their everyday lives in addition to hearing it from their parents. They need to see what loving others looks like from multiple angles, and they need to see God at work in the community to bolster their faith. Seeing the work of God and His heart for people is made more real by the involvement of the ministries of the church. Timothy is to set the believers an example in what? In love, in faith, and in purity. He has to know first how to do that, which it's clear in this passage that he does. But he's setting the example for who? For the other believers, for those who are less spiritually mature. So the flip side of the dedication that leads to spiritual maturity is that those who lack spiritual maturity are at risk of being pulled away from their service or even from living out their faith. You see, Paul is able to see and warn of many of the distractions and difficulties that Timothy will face. Paul is setting a great example by leading his younger brother, Timothy, in faith. This is what we need to do as well. The idea of being a parent or a mentor in a youth's life is the charge given by God to speak into their lives, discipline, encourage, and support them to bigger and better things throughout their time on earth, mostly in the area of godliness. Think about the fact that those children and youth that you know, talk to, or are in the process of raising into adulthood are going to have voices that they listen to in frequency, at least, much more than you. Much more than the Word of God. Whether it be their favorite music artist, a game designer, a favorite celebrity, a friend they text nonstop, favorite athletes, actors, or actresses, the church cannot afford to lose the battle for hearts and minds to the culture around it. The minds of the less mature are constantly engaged by the ideals and lifestyles of those they watch, and the danger of distractions and the pull from culture is exposed through such scripture passages as what Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verses 13 through 14. Many of you should be very familiar with it. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Jesus warns that distractions can form and make it so that there's no depth, learning, action, or faith involved in an individual's belief, meaning no root. And sometimes a root can form, but the priorities of culture and our own sinful nature can take over in our lives and we do not produce fruit. That is the danger. And the challenge to the church in this area must be then that we are ever present in the lives of those who are still in their spiritual infancy. This is just one of the many reasons that I believe that we as a church have to have relationships with the youth and younger Christians and new individuals in our church. Because we have the opportunity to speak the truth of the gospel into the never-ending bombardment of cultural life and lies that hit us from every angle. Paul gives us the example on how to do that by encouraging Timothy, who is growing. He's taking steps in his faith and in the church so as to help him stay steady in his faith. And we as a church, therefore, must follow that example and must speak the truth of Scripture and live the Word of God for those around us to see. That requires being present in other people's lives. Easy to teach, hard to implement. Even Paul says in this passage, "Until I come." He's communicating with Timothy. He's not there yet. But Timothy expected to be held accountable to Paul when Paul was there, and those growing in the church should also be held accountable by those who are present in their lives so that they can have a constant encouragement not to be pulled away from the faith, But we'll get to more of that in a moment. Because we see that Christians need to have spiritual maturity. And the church should be exampling that to those who are not yet spiritually mature. But it is important for us to note that just because someone has less spiritual maturity does not mean that they are a lesser Christian. For there is equality in the Christian life. 1 Timothy 4:12 is Paul's exhortation to Timothy as a young leader in the church who was a teacher in the gospel of the gospel. And it is clear in the context of this passage that Timothy's life was evident to those in the church, and he did not have a free pass simply because of his age. Again, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct in love and faith and in purity. Paul saw the capability of Timothy to make an example for all those around him. And when we look at the youth of this church, do we see them that way? Do we see younger individuals as people who can make an impact, as people who have opportunity? Paul's attitude towards Timothy must have been encouraging and helpful to Timothy as he was taking steps to proclaim Christ. Are we encouraging? Are we encouraging to the newer Christians or members in the church to take bigger steps and focus on Christ? To the children of the church? To the young adults? To the young parents? They're all full members in the church. Anyone who is under the flag of Christ. For Christ came to die on this earth for those who believe and accept him as Savior, regardless of the age or the time that they have been serving him. His sacrifice on the cross for our sins covers the deeds of those who are young and old, and then those who have turned to God are given the gift of the Holy Spirit who works in them to spur them to good works. All Christians are expected to serve Christ in whatever they can, and in whatever way they can, through their witness and their deeds. But we have to remember that it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to serve, not just our experience or age. So as a church, are we actively looking for new members for our teams in our Christian fellowship and service? Are we making sure that we as adults and as fellow Christians are helping others to feel like a part of the fellowship of the saints on Sunday mornings, at events, or in our ministries? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Now this verse recognizes the many members of our church not only contain different backgrounds, but it can also apply to physical and spiritual ages. Paul goes on to say in verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. If we as followers of Christ neglect any part of our body, we can be sure that the church as a whole will suffer. But if we minister to and encourage each other as a whole, then the church as a whole is encouraged. For those of you who are here who are youth or younger Christians, the statement, let no one despise you for your youth, here in 1 Timothy is not discussing the idea that people might be jealous that you are young and you don't have rickety, brittle bones, even though that may be true. But what it does mean is that the Christians around you will not look down on you because of your immaturity. If one who is young acts in a wise and mature way according to scriptures, then their actions will not speak to the ways of the world, but rather they will point to the fact that you are committed to being an example to others for what it means to be a follower of Christ with energy and with exuberance and with passion, hopefully. For those who are still young in spiritual maturity, you may feel like you don't know enough or that you struggle in life, but the reality is the challenge stated here. You should not give others an opportunity to despise you through your speech or conduct. Idle gossip and the works of the world have no place in the church. Instead, you must be full of love to others as you live out your faith and grow in your gifts. For you are no lesser Christian. For the more mature Christians in the room, we need to be encouraging and inclusive to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Equality in Christian life also points towards the idea that the church body must have proper expectations towards one another. One of the biggest challenges before this then becomes, how do we line up our expectations for young people? Because yes, we do want the youth to live well. We want what we see is best for them. But the problem is that more often than not, our hopes of what is best for our children and the youth of the community are not necessarily what God has ordained is best for them. As having young children now, I can say I don't want my children to lead lives of poverty. I don't want them to have a high-stress life. I want them to surround themselves with people who make them happy. But is that what we're encouraging first? Are we focusing on good academic knowledge, a great job, or relationships? Are we focusing on only the things of the world as their primary focus? Because those are not the things that God desires for our youth. They aren't bad, necessarily. But God desires that Christian youth, first and foremost, seek Him and be examples in speech and conduct in love and faith and in purity. That they have a passion for Him and His ways that is revealed by how they treat others, knowing full well that they may end up serving in a third world country in poverty. That they may end up with no friends because of their passion for the Lord. That they may end up as an example in a country that does not want them to be an example. The bottom line is that we are to encourage and look for the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because that is where, as a church, our expectations for the youth should lie. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, I'm sure many of you know this very well, declares, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Verse 24 says, and this is a little less known, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." We are to urge one another to pursue the higher calling of following in Christ's footsteps in the midst of a broken world. And in this way, we can see that even the expectations in Christian life point towards equality in Christian life. For we all have the same expectations for each other spiritually, for we are all the same body. So then we come to verses 14 through 15, which says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress." How can the Christian who is dedicated to Christ find themselves immersed in the Christian life? One of the keys is found in verse 12. We look back with the phrase, "set the believers an example." But again, here in verse 15, it says, "so that all may see your progress." The expectations held toward the believer also include that the believer be a part of the church's ministry of mentoring those around them through service and example. This is what it means to immerse yourself in the Christian walk. None of us are to neglect our gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. And Paul makes it clear to Timothy in verse 14 when he says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." The Greek in this passage indicates that Timothy was ordained for service, perhaps with a prayer, exhortation, or a promise that was given to Timothy regarding his service by the church elders. You might look at me and say, "I don't want my child to become a pastor." But the exhortation found in this passage can be applied to our children, much like we encourage them on a regular basis. Because what this means is for the church is that we want to find the children's gifts, the child's gifts, the teenager's gifts, the young adult's gifts, and we want to plug them in for ministry so that they can use their faith for God's glory. We tell them all the time to use what God has given them, whether it be their athleticism, their gift with words, music, mathematics, whatever they are good at, we encourage them to use. In the same way, Paul is encouraging Timothy to use the gifts that have been publicly recognized by the church and commissioned by the church for God's glory. I hate to say it, but without the help of the congregation and the local church, it's almost impossible for the youth or any new believer to immerse themselves in the practice of their spiritual gifts. They're not allowed to do it at school. They're not necessarily going to be able to serve in the same way in their families. Where do they serve? In the church. Especially in the light of our cultural norms. The executive director of the Fuller Youth Institute and co-author of many books, including Sticky Church, her name is Kara Powell, was in an interview on the Church Leaders podcast, and I would like to read you something she said is in regards to why youth end up leaving the church when they get into college. She says this: "Students graduate, and all they know is the youth ministry and the youth leader. They don't know their church. They don't know the adults in their church. So no wonder they drift away from the church, because they feel like they've graduated out of it. Really good research indicates that almost half of young people drift from God and the church after they graduate." She later goes on to say, "The research has shown that you really need 5 adults plugged into 1 young person's life in order to have the best chance of helping them retain their faith in their relationship with God." It should be no surprise that those who are mature in Christ are going to have less difficulty in following the Spirit, yet perhaps the biggest challenge for those who are mature lies in being an example to those who are less mature, or even in mentoring them. Paul gives this example in Philippians chapter 3 when he tells those he is writing to join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I know some youth that are very put together, who are respectful, kind, and loving as they live for Christ. I know others who don't know that kind of maturity yet. But as members in the church, our goal should be always to bring others closer to the Lord, step by step, regardless of age. Most often, this does fall to those who are older to teach those who are younger. Titus chapter 2 is another example of this, in the way that those who are older are commanded to teach those who are younger the wiser matters of life and how to have self-control over themselves. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? In this way, the expectations for those under Christ are universal towards one another, as those who are taught eventually are meant to lead by example and by being a mentor to those who are younger than them. As we look at the Bible, this model of being a part of a younger generation's life is found in the New Testament church, not only by Paul plugging into the life of Timothy, but also, again, in Titus chapter 2, older women are told to teach younger women, and for older men to urge younger men. Those who are in youth ministry or those who are in children's ministry are doing a great thing, but they cannot be the only answer of what brings spiritual growth into the life of a student. That falls to the church as a whole. We cannot be the beginning and the end of the fellowship with Christian believers outside of their family. And this is where it gets personal. Because we have to be in a habit of examining our lives. If we already have the relationship started with a youth in this church, a new believer, perhaps a younger relative in your family, as believers of Christ, as followers of Christ, we are expected to plug into their lives. Because that is the encouragement that they need to be able to continue in their faith. Now, this passage isn't calling us to have five people leading a Bible study for each youth every week. But it means having five adults who are willing to take a youth out to coffee or to have them and their family over for dinner. It means involving new believers in the spiritual young and ministry context and encouraging them in the body of Christ. It means being an active part in the lives of the people you're exposed to on a daily basis and occasionally reaching out to those who are on the edges of your sphere of influence. It means being a presence in each other's lives and not being isolated. As it has already been somewhat assumed by this passage, but it is too important to skip over, the next step of staying immersed in the Christian life and helping others to be immersed is by the church as a whole working together, being involved in ministry opportunities and encouraging each other. Timothy was affirmed by the council of elders for the work he was going to do in the church. We should always be on the lookout for ways to incorporate those who are dedicated to godliness. While Timothy's example might be easy to see but hard to do, it is fairly evident for those of us who are middle-aged as to where we might serve in the church. It might be a little bit more difficult sometimes to imagine if you're a little younger or older. I know when I was younger, I was all over in the church. I was doing anything and everything that I could get my hands on trying to find my place. But it can be difficult to see sometimes where to serve. So as encouragement, I'm going to list off some examples from Scripture of those who are younger and older who serve God. God used Samuel as a boy to serve in the temple. David was a youth when he fought Goliath. Timothy was a young man who was responsible for teaching and preaching to the church. God used Noah at the age of at least 600 to save his family. Joseph served in Egypt and enabled the well-being of his family in Egypt until he was 110 years old. The prophets Isaiah and Daniel each served the Lord well into their 80s and 90s. And Simeon and Anna were able to recognize God's work and recognize what God was doing at the birth of Jesus when they were both very old. Each one of these individuals were used by God in their particular roles, regardless of their age, and their service to God ended up rewarding those people who were around them at those times because they were willing to follow God with everything. Each of us has an opportunity to serve God in our lives with the gifts and abilities that He has given us in different seasons. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." As Christians, our works through the church are evident to others, and they encourage those around us to move further in the ministry of Christ. So by being involved in mentoring and by service, we are able to more fully be immersed in the Christian life. Now, the Christians of this church are comprised of younger and older men and women, as are all churches. We are called to be an example to others and to build one another up for good works. This means that we are to serve God wherever we are in our stage of life. Now, I can't say what your stage of life is. I have no idea what your schedule is, more than likely. But we are to be pursuing godliness in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. We need to recognize those who are doing that. Those who prioritize their lives to show Christ is the focus, and we need to encourage them. We who are older need to be willing to walk with those who are younger and provide help and encouragement to them as a vital part of the church. And those who are younger need to accept the Christian guidance and the urgings of those who are their elders. The Christian can not only fellowship with those who are in our own individual age groups, but we should be making sure that the fellowship of believers is something that transcends age and abilities, as we are all part of one body. We can do that by understanding each other's value to the community of faith and by having and encouraging the proper expectations that should be held towards one another as vital parts of the church who have opportunities to serve. This is what it means to be one body under Christ, that we work together towards the building of the Lord's kingdom with care and love for one another, even though we are created as different parts at different times. The expectation Paul puts forward towards his younger brother is one that transcends age and is instead focused on the community of believers, that the young and the old in Christ be fully immersed in the church, that they dive into the body of Christ and cling to the opportunities and giftings that God has given them as a means of bringing glory to God. Mature faith is revealed by the way we dedicate ourselves to the mission of Christ and to each other. This is our goal, as we as a church must try to achieve now and in the coming months and through our entire lives. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us your Son, so that we have this family of God, this encouraging body, that works together, Lord, that encourages one another, that lifts one another up to good deeds. Lord, we thank you for the time we've been able to spend searching your word for what we should be doing as a church, for how we should be living our lives, for how we should be focusing on spiritual maturity in our lives, on learning how to encourage spiritual maturity in those who are younger. Lord, I pray that we would be full of your Spirit, and that we would move in this church we would serve you together as an example towards one another and also, Lord, for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to put to action what you have shown us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.